Career Builder with Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection. All right, tell us.
Welcome.
Yes,
thank
welcome.
You guys very much. Great to be here with you.
What's in store for us today, Robert?
Well, what was really interesting is after last week's show, or the show 2 weeks ago. Oh, no, it was a week ago.
It was a week ago,
we
yes.
We had lots of feedback on your WeZin channel, and
yeah.
actually on my own WeZin channel, which is Robert Parkinson, asking questions, asking follow-up questions about being a young manager. So we've got some information about positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think we covered the don'ts really last week.
Yeah.
We've got some of the do's this week. So it's quite interesting. And shall I kick off? Because I've got a Chinese proverb for you.
Oh,
okay.
Please do.
Which I found the most interesting and, mm-hmm. and inspiring of all the stuff. Because, you know, LinkedIn and the like is full of stuff about management and leadership. But the quality of a lot of it is questionable. But what I really liked was, it's not the cry, but the flight of a wild duck that leads the flock to fly and follow.
Mm,
which
that's right.
is a Chinese proverb. And I thought that really aptly and articulately really made the point that management is about, and leadership is all about leading from the front and leading by example. And to give a practical real-life example, is I have very few rules in my company, but one of them is that people show up on time. But if I, as the manager or owner or whatever title you want to give, don't follow my own rule and show up on time myself, how on earth can I expect my staff to? So I think that is a really interesting and important point, and I think that was really nicely covered in the proverb.
But Robert, I have a bit of an issue with that idea of like turning up on time and like leaving, because in Chinese companies and in Asia indeed, a lot of employees, they feel like I need to show up before the boss arrives. And I need to leave after the boss leaves.
Yeah.
How do you tackle that as a young manager? Do you say, like, hey, guys, if you're not actually doing anything productive and you feel like you can do work better tomorrow morning, just leave earlier?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I would answer that in the following way. I think surveys and psychology suggest very, very consistently that we do our best work in the morning, not the evening.
Okay.
You know, there's an expression in the UK, early to bed, early to rise makes Jack healthy, wealthy, and wise. And there's truth in that. You know, people who start their day in an organized fashion will be more effective. And I think it is the responsibility of the young manager to be there first, to set the example for their team. But I also don't think necessarily that people need to stay in the office until, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I think, you know, the work-life balance is tremendously important. And I think, you know, if we're setting ourselves up as examples to our, I don't like the word, but subordinates, then it's not a great example, is it, of working 12, 13, 14 hours a day. Who aspires to do that? And indeed, sadly, there have been some examples at some of the big four accounting firms of people working so hard that it's ended in tragic circumstances. So I think, yeah, get there in the morning on time, get going on time, but then you've got to trust people and let them get on, let them manage their own time, their own days.
It's interesting because last week I saw a play I actually introduced from Broadway to China, which is titled How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying,
okay.
In which, yeah, the main character just pretends to be staying in the office for a whole night, and the boss actually buys it.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting one, because there are those who say that 99% of management is just turning up. On time.
Interesting.
One of my old bosses used to say that to me after we'd had big office parties the night before. You know, you have to turn up on time in the morning. But, you know, I think to give some specific takeaways to young managers listening to this show, there's a lot of other specific things people can do. And I think a great example of that is to get a mentor. Get someone that you trust and you believe sets you a great example to help you as a manager. You know, why reinvent the wheel? You know, get someone in your life who maybe someone at your current company, maybe your boss, maybe your boss's boss, maybe a friend, whoever, who can help and guide you and make the right decisions, ethically the right decisions. And I'd also caution people against those people who sell themselves as coaches or mentors at a sort of by-the-hour rate, because I've heard lots of horror stories about people like that, you know, almost, you know, charlatan-esque types of situations. The other thing that I think is really important is that managers, and this is something that bridges cultural barriers completely. Someone asked me this morning, is this China specific? And this applies whether you're in Germany, China, Japan, wherever. Is be open to critique. Be open to your own mistakes. You know, I did something myself on Monday night, which, frankly, I could have done better. And I was quite open with my team about that. And that helps build trust. And trust really is the glue that bonds and binds relationships in companies together, I think.
So what are the other do's you would recommend young managers do?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we've got to get down to the detail. And clearly someone has got to a management position by the fact that they're, you know, more able than other people. So show people what to do. You know, it's sometimes you've got to be very simple and practical. And it's a case of if you solve a very small problem, that may end up solving the wider issue. So show people, you know, lead by example and show people specifically when they have problems. Don't be afraid, for example, to roll up your sleeves, get down and dirty and sort a problem out. You know, if you're the engineering director in a factory in Tianjin, for example, you know, people will respect you tremendously if a lathe or something like that isn't working. If you're the one who, you know, gets on his hands and knees and figures out why it isn't working, obviously obeying health and safety regulations. But, you know, that is the point, you know, not being too lofty, not being above other people, I think is really important.
I think it's all very well and good when you say inspire your team members, but how about when subordinates do something wrong or they made a very bad decision? It's time to test your leadership. What do you do in these situations? What do you do when you need to make the tough choices?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a really good point, Byron. And to give you another quote from Tony Blair, the I think I have to say infamous former British Prime Minister, the art of leadership is saying no, not saying yes. It's very easy to say yes. I think what the expression I use is, I call it a feedback sandwich. And, you know, you might sort of smile and think, what on earth is he talking about? But what that really means is, if you can imagine the bread in a sandwich is the good stuff, and the bit in the middle is the difficult problem that needs addressing. So we start our conversation like this. We start by praising someone in a true and genuine way, because if you're not true, if you're disingenuous, people spot that immediately. So, for example, I think you've done fantastic on this project recently, and I'm delighted with your progress on that. We do need to address this piece of feedback, and here what matters is the language that we use. Mm-hmm. It's important we emphasize that we're talking about the behavior and not the person, because that stops people from taking it personally, and it makes people more open to understand and be less defensive about something. So I really think that you have to change the way, for example, change the way you start your interviews. You know, a different way, rather than the wrong way to do it would be a different way to do it would be this way. See, it's a small, subtle difference in language. So, and hit the nail on the head. Don't pussyfoot around. Tell the person what they need to hear. But then don't leave it on a sour note. Build it back up and say, you know, but you're doing fantastic work. Keep going. And if you do this, if you change the way you behave, you're going to get even better results.
That's very, very helpful. Is it a strange word to use but, because whenever you use the word but, people kind of forget everything you said before that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. that is true. It does tend to happen.
Very, very interesting. So it really is about trying to appease your employees, making them feel comfortable, and then really spewing what you want them to change.
I think what it's about is I would challenge...
Oh, we'll be right back after these messages.
No problem.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus, something fresh.
Then add in your mushroom.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus.
Studio Plus.
That's right, you're listening to Studio Plus, and we're in the middle of our career builder with Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection. We are still talking about leadership and young leaders, actually, more specifically. All right, so we just left off, and we're talking about how to speak to subordinates, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think that, the job of a leader of any kind is to inject energy into subordinates. A question a lot of people ask me is, how do you inspire your team members? And I think there's a lot of ways you could answer that question, but I think, to keep it simple, one of my favorite expressions, keep it simple, is if you turn up to work in the morning looking like you've just had an argument with your wife or husband, looking like you're ill and looking like the world is giving you the worst time in the world, don't expect your team to produce great results.
Ah.
But if you show up with energy, enthusiasm, passion, a zest for life, and a genuine interest in what you're doing, and I think this is often where people go wrong, then that infectious enthusiasm spreads. And there's another expression that enthusiasm flows down a company. Mm. And I think that's super true. And I think part of the issue with the labour market in China at the moment is because so many people are tempted by package increases. They lose focus on the actual interest and desire to do their job. And if you don't have that desire, if it's just about the dollar for you, then it's very hard to convey that enthusiasm to your staff.
Mm.
So that you're saying that an employee can afford to go to the office with all the baggage from their home life or domestic life, but an employer can't, or they shouldn't.
I think everyone shouldn't. And, I think as a learning point, as a coaching point, one of the things, if you've got a staff member, if you are a young manager and you have a staff member who shows up in the morning with a load of baggage and a load of personal issues, part of your job, and you might do this in a feedback sandwich format, but part of your job is to explain to them that, work is work. When you come through the door, we've all got problems in our lives. We've all got sick relatives. We've all got sick grandparents, you've got to crack on and be a member of the team.
And be professional.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm. Another problem for the young managers might be the experienced staff under his or her management.
Mm.
People tend to judge one's ability according to their age. So how do the young managers deal with this problem, do you think?
I think that's a great question. And I speak as someone who, when I was based in Amsterdam and I was 24, I was managing a woman who was 38. And she was quite an outgoing, quite a feisty lady. And the way I dealt with that situation was through fact, reason, and qualified knowledge, explaining that she had to do something because it was the right thing to do. And so, in other words, confidence in what I was saying and doing. And, I think some people will clearly be intimidated by that. Some people won't. And all I can really say to people who will feel upset about that is don't. because all you're doing is hurting yourself. Maybe management isn't the right thing for you if that's an issue. Because for sure, you know, there was a classic example in the UK of the CFO of Marks & Spencer's, a FTSE 100 company, who was 28 years old. Yeah, and this guy's the CFO, you know, with no doubt managing people 20 years his senior. But he could do it because he was better, he had better judgment skills, he was better able to do the job, and he was the right person for the job. And he wasn't for one second fazed by the age differences. And I have to say, being in the recruitment and human resources business, you know, I've seen people do jobs badly for 20 years, and some people do jobs well for 6 months, and you know, their careers zoom up because of it. So don't let age put you off for one second.
So in this circumstances, does the manager have to be tough?
My view is that being tough in the sense of being abrasive or rude or aggressive is never appropriate, because it always brings up barriers. That's not to say, by the way, that I am some kind of saint, and I occasionally lose my temper myself, you know, I'm certainly not faultless, but I think the ideal is that we try and remain calm, because ultimately our, and again, hate to use the word, but our subordinates will copy a lot of how we behave. And if we behave in an emotional fashion and we respond in an emotional way, then probably they will too. They think that's the right thing to do. And to give a fresh example, it's not a staff member, but the supplier to one of my companies, who I dropped last week because of their emotional way that they were conducting business with us. And it wasn't to do with price. It was about just the simple discourse of the discussion.
I see. It's all about professional skills.
Absolutely.
Mm. I will definitely, I think it's very interesting, because a friend of mine who's actually visiting me, he's working in Japan, he says, like, in Japan it's very much about seniority. You don't really see young managers. So it really is a new thing. You say in the entire world it's more or less a very new thing.
I think in China, because, I think, you know, Japan is Japan and it has its own culture. But I think because China has, you know, I've been here 10 years and I've seen tremendous change. Because the country has changed so quickly, because it's largely based on Western market economics, you know, let's be honest about it, you need people to manage businesses. You need people with basic business management skills fashioned around a Western style economy, which is effectively what China has. So there's a huge amount of professional skills and scientific skills in China, and China has one of the probably best educated populations in the world, but you need practical, down-to-earth experience interacting with people, i.e. managing people and dealing with people, to be effective. And, you know, I have to say, I've seen many people with an Oxbridge education, which, you know, I would consider to be the creme de la creme of an education, fall down in China and in other places, because they don't really understand how to interact with others or how to, you know, manage others.
Mm. So I think you were, let's just quickly have one more question. I think you said before, you know, you need to get someone to coach you or mentor you, but you don't want someone who you need to, like, pay, or you basically pay by the hour. What kind of person can you get to mentor? Would it be someone inside the company? And how do you prevent your subordinates thinking, oh, well, maybe the young manager is the de jure manager, but maybe someone else is the de facto manager?
Yeah, I want to ask the same question.
Well, I think that, you know, you have to rise above that's really touching on what we talked about last week. It's self-doubt, and you've got to rise above that to be an effective manager. As for, you know, who are your coaches, who are your influences, you have to choose those people based on who you credibly and sincerely believe give you good advice that helps you. That's really all I can say on that. It may be someone you develop a relationship with. it may be someone who you do pay by the hour, because occasionally there are good people, but you really want to focus in on someone whose values you believe in and that you adhere to. That's the key thing, yeah, whose values. So, for example, if you believe that there is a certain measure of how to communicate with people, or if you believe that it's just plain wrong to tell lies, for example, to use an example, there's been stuff in the news about Chinese students this week, I noticed. If you believe that is fundamentally wrong and never has a place, then a person who shares that belief is probably a good person to be a coach or a mentor of you. So you've got to have an alignment there, I would say. But over and above that, it doesn't matter who it is. I would say it could be anyone. Someone you connect with is key.
All right. Thank you very much, Robert Parkinson. He's the founder and CEO of RMG Selection. We were talking about young leaders.
Great
thank
to
you.
Be here. Thank you.